This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So my mother-in-law used to recall when she first went to see The Wizard of Oz. Now this would have been in the theaters. While in 1939, so this is when she went to see The Wizard of Oz, it was not the first movie that was in color. Actually, the best picture that year, one of my favorite movies, Gone with the Wind, was the first one in color, was also in color. But it did use a special color film. And this colored film required so much lighting because the film speed was so low that the temperature on the set could reach 100 degrees. And y'all imagine with all that makeup and costume. But she remembers the scene as a 12-year-old in the theater when Dorothy's house had stopped spinning in the cyclone of impending doom and it landed with a thud. And as she opens the door of her house and the picture shifts from classic black and white to this magnificent, bright, and brilliant color. As Dorothy walks through the front door and into Munchkin Land. Now, we might take this a little for granted, movies in color, but my mother-in-law would recall very vividly the audible gasp of the audience when the rich intensity of Technicolor brought the scene to life. It was awesome and amazing, something they'd never seen before. Today we hear what I think of as sort of a strange story, isn't it? In our gospel reading. I mean, why the need to take a few followers up a mountain to watch Jesus become a shining beam of light with two ghosts that appear beside him, Moses and Elijah, to frighten them terribly? And then as things settle down, he says, "Don't tell anyone." But seriously, would any of us go down the hill and tell people that story? Because it sounds a little crazy. We were just up there, and Jesus turned into this shining light, and then there were Moses and Elijah, where people would stop listening. And they might start to wonder, who's having visions? So why then is this so important that it is included in our Holy Scripture? I mean, these disciples, Peter and John and James, they have seen Jesus cast out demons. Peter was there when Jesus healed his mother-in-law. They were there when he cured the sick of Capernaum. He cleansed the leper. He made a withered hand new and strong. He helped paralytics walk and the blind see, and thousands were fed. I mean, this is about whom, this Jesus guy, he's getting more likes and shares on Facebook and Twitter than anyone else in his region. But it's these beloved followers of Jesus that now finally get a glimpse on this mountaintop. They get a glimpse of Jesus not only in Technicolor, but Vista Vision and 4K high definition. And they're really not quite sure what they just saw. But there's a sense that they are finally beginning to understand who Jesus really is. And Jesus speaking with Elijah and Moses, those ancient prophets chosen by God before. And if seeing all this wasn't enough, God wants to make his direction quite clear and commands them to listen. I imagine as the cloud subsided and they were huddled over in fear and they looked up and their dear beloved friend Jesus was standing there with his hand on their shoulder, that they no longer saw him in the same way. That all of a sudden they had a new window and a new way of seeing the world around them. And nothing around them has changed except their ability to see things differently. For Peter and John and James, the veil of Jesus as also divine has been lifted. Now, with Moses and Elijah appearing with Jesus, we hear a word about Moses today too. You see, for the Jewish people of Israel, it was very important, necessary to show that Jesus was a continuation of the story they knew so well. Because, friends, our stories are linked to stories of ages past. We don't live in isolation away from those that have come before us and separate from those who will follow. Our stories are linked to other followers of Jesus as well as they are linked to one another. Just like in the story of the Wizard of Oz, when we start to recognize that the characters of Oz as Dorothy's family and friends and grumpy neighbors. But what we don't hear today is what happened while Moses was up on the mountaintop. What we don't hear today is what happened when Jesus came down with his disciples from the mountaintop. We hear that the Israelites, as they watched Moses ascend up the mountaintop, that all they saw was a devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And their leader, Moses, walked right into it. And while God and Moses are up on the mountain having a conversation, apparently a long conversation, it took 40 days, and God is up there giving instructions, I imagine God's like, okay, let's see, we need to do this and this, and you're going to tell people this, and meanwhile Moses is trying real hard to get it all in, and he's thinking, okay, and then all of a sudden the part of the story we don't hear is God looks up and says, what? On the holy bottom of the mountain, are my people doing? Because meanwhile, down below, the people of Israel who can see this devouring fire on top of the mountain, and they know that their leader is up there, and he has said, you are in good hands with my fellow leaders here. I will be back. God has called me up there. They get impatient. Now, in their defense, 40 days would seem a long time to wait. And they start to get impatient. So impatient, in fact, they begin to worship other gods. They've made this trek for so long. They followed this man, Moses. They heard his word. They'd hoped for something new. And when things started taking a little too long and there was a lot of uncertainty, they decided to worship another god. So when Moses came down, he had some pretty big problems to deal with. And then what we didn't read today in the gospel is that when the disciples came down off of that mountaintop, they too entered into the problems of everyday life. They descended from the mountain into a village where they encountered a very sick boy whom Jesus healed. You see, the disciples discovered that God is also in the valley. That God does not live only on the mountaintop or even primarily on the mountaintop. That God knows that you and I spend much of our life in the experience of the valley. You and I know what happens the next day when we come down from the mountaintop. It's the real world and real life. And sometimes we are waiting, like the people of Israel, for that mountaintop experience, a sort of in your face, I'm right here from God. And sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it takes longer than we would like. And so we try to get that experience from earthly things. We begin to worship other gods. But if anything, the story of Jesus and his disciples to say that God is always saying, I am here with you. I am not some thunderous cloud on the top of a mountain, glowing and untouchable. I am right here. You do not need to build a tent to keep me housed and safe and in a box and neatly preserved for people to come and find and make a pilgrimage, because I am with you always. I mean, the truth about this life is that any of us are surviving it all. When we wake in the morning, just the fact that we can take a breath and our heart beats and all of these organs are functioning is a miracle in and of itself. And it's a miracle that we have the opportunity to know God in a personal way. Sometimes our lives can feel like they are spinning out of control. Spinning out of control, much like Dorothy's little farmhouse. But when we land from those times and those moments and those valleys, when we realize it's a miracle we survived it all, that when we get through to the other side, and we open the door, we can see the world quite differently. And as they hovered in fear and were afraid, because thunder and lightning are very, very frightening, Jesus came and he touched them on the shoulder. And I imagine he knelt down. And in the loving voice, he says, get up. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Amen.